Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! We finally get to hear Acuna's side of the story. More on that coming up. It is Chris Thomas in for Carl today. Oren pressing the buttons, producing. We start the show with the big old, and you in the car as well. Hey, man! Hope you're having a great day. It feels like spring has sprung. I know the pollen still drives a lot of people crazy, me included, you too. But it's beautiful out, man. Top-down weather. And, man, it was funny because traffic was getting bad at the connector, and I said, well, maybe I'll sneak into the hub lane for a second. And I said, nah, better not. And then, boom, 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 3 GSP come flying by. So it was very fortuitous to not do that.
That
today.
Is some positive karma yes. coming in your direction,
so
Mike.
Some good juju today. And
if you walk the path of light yes. will shine upon you, Mike.
I'm trying to break some bad driving habits, so I did obey all the rules today on the way to work. So I hope you guys are having a good hump day. As we mentioned, we will be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, and that's why Mike, our boss Conti, want to crawl the rest up, get the pipes right, and then he'll be back tomorrow and Friday. But Chris is in. I was a little almost late for work today because I had to read the Ronald Acuna piece in the Players Tribune, which is I mean no harm, I swear. And I know you read it earlier this morning. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating, honestly. And the whole time I'm trying to picture why now, right? Why now, right before the season starts, does he want to send out this particular message about who he is, what he stands for, where he comes from? And this is the greatest connection to the fan base we've seen him ever make thus far right. in his Braves uniform.
Yeah, here's my theory on this. It's twofold. Number one, I think he's growing up. I think, you know, and everybody grows up at their own pace. Lord knows I didn't grow up till I was in my 40s, and you know, I'm still working on it. But I think, you know, he gives you the background, like so many kids who come from the Caribbean, you know, or wherever they come from to come to the big leagues that are, you know, that are proteges, that are savants for baseball, and they've got to learn everything from the language to the currency to how to communicate yep. and everything else. I do think that there's, you know, there's a maturity process with Ronald, and I also think he is also, this is not to be saying that there's ulterior motives, but I also think it's a good idea for the fan base to get to know him because it's time for a big raise.
Aha.
And it's time for him and his people and whoever suggested, again, if this is not Ronald, it's not, you know, I feel I want to communicate my message. He's learned English. He's getting better at it every day. Again, that's another sign of maturity and seeing the big picture. I just think it's an effort to win some hearts and minds for what is to be a huge, huge contract that he richly deserves, in part. How's that sound?
Mike, you and me are El Simpatico on that one, my friend. Right. I was like, this is great. This is informative. This is phenomenal. It's the most in-depth look we've got at the biggest star in the city. Mm-hmm. But what does he want from this piece? Maybe to garner a little sympathy from the fan base and maybe push that line to the breaking point of there is absolutely no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We cannot let Ronald Acuna wear another uniform ever.
Look, I like the guy. I've always liked the style. I know that at times there's people that, you know, nice kids. Like, if you don't vibe it now as far as, you know, throwing the bats and the walk-off and everything else and all the, you know, it's part of baseball. It's what everyone does now. And, I mean, if you want to, you know, I'm going to go watch a minor league. Well, the Savannah, you know, Bananas do put on a hell of a show, but they also do a lot of fun stuff. That's why they are like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
You may even see Jeff Francoeur.
Because people, and they, by the way, I know I heard Steak talking about it earlier in the week on the Steakhouse. We gave away tickets on Friday for the Savannah Bananas when they played in Gwinnett. Sold out every day. I know they had to do a double dip because it did rain out on Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was. But they had an unbelievable vibe. I talked to a buddy of mine who lives in Lawrenceville and took his kids. They were just going nuts. Said it was pure energy. Like all sporting events, if you really want to get it right, other than the NFL, 2 hours. 2 hours is the ADD, you know, limit for many Americans, and it's perfect. That's why we just talked during the commercial break with Randy about F1 off the air. Formula One is better than NASCAR because it's over sooner. That's it. Why do I love F1? Lefts and rights, and it's over in 2 hours.
Atlanta United.
Yes. I mean, it's over in 2 hours. Most NBA games, 220, 2.5, depends. But, yeah, there's the timeline. The only product that we will consume, and, of course, baseball is doing fantastic regionally. We know that. But it's the NFL. NFL can – I never have a problem with, you know, 3.5-hour NFL game. It's like going to a long movie. That's one thing. For how much money I spend on those freaking Falcon tickets, give it to me all day, man. But getting back to the initial point, yeah, man, I just feel that Ronald Acuna, I think it's a combination of maturity. I like a look behind the curtain. You know, the Players Tribune going all the way back when it started. How many years now is it? It's been over a decade, right? Players Tribune's been
Jeter
out there.
Yeah, Jeter started that thing basically right after he retired, which is just about a decade ago.
And you get the chance to have guys say. Now, the only thing I didn't get out of the Ronald Acuna piece, I don't think it's a slight because, you know, how many words were you going to write? But I thought there might be something about his relationship with Ozzie. Ozzy Albies being his pal, you know, when he was coming up in the minors with the Braves. I thought there might be something about that.
That's a good point. And some people are also trying to make this Fugazi intimation that he was slighting Freddie and some of the other veteran leaders at a certain point in the article.
It was thinly veiled, but yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that was so much of the case. I think he was just expressing how he felt at the time more so. I think people are running with that a little bit too far because we have the soundbite, Mike, that we always play about Freddie talking about you don't cover up the A and you got to wear your sunglasses a certain way. But I think Ronald overall, I think the intentions might have been strategic, but they were good. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. And so whether you feel he's positioned himself for a big contract, again, I don't see that as maybe it's 1B, okay, is the reasoning behind this. But it's a fascinating read. And is there a paywall on that? It's free, right?
No, I read it for free.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got all the passwords. I forget it. I just locks it in automatically. But it's out there. I retweeted it at Mike Bell ATL. It's worth a read. And it talks about, you know, it was a humble upbringing. We've heard about kids who grew up in the Dominican Republic, you know, the parts of, you know, that basin, you know, and where his part of Venezuela. His dad was playing professional baseball and how it starts off with all he wanted was tape and some newspaper
because
they make baseballs out of like a tightly compacted newspaper with some tape. And that's what they'd use. And in Haiti, they use, or I was saying, the Dominican Republic, it'd be like milk cartons. They would try to fashion into a glove until you finally get a chance to, you know, get the real deal.
Yeah, it was nice the way they ended the story too because he was talking about how it all came full circle, basically saying, like, if I had to go back and think about my upbringing again, I wouldn't change it for the world. And that goes to show you how it helped really make him the man that he is today and infuse some of the character that it takes. And he really got vulnerable, Mike, talking about how emotional he was when he first had to leave his friends and family and how tough that was for him. And even now to this day, when he thinks about those times when he's alone in a hotel room on the road, he can feel the tears coming down his face. I don't know about you. I didn't realize Ronnie was that deep. We always see him being so jovial, being so fan friendly and being, you know, boisterous. I didn't realize he had a sweet spot too.
Yeah, so I just tweeted out, why write this now? He's maturing and perhaps a chance to win some folks over. Not that I need any convincing that he deserves a big raise.
Yeah, he's the best player in baseball.
Period. So we'll see where this one goes, what the timeline will be for Alex Anthopoulos. Yeah, he's going to get it, and he deserves it. Now, we can find out somebody. He didn't really talk about, you know, how much. If you were looking for why I play winter ball, he loves playing with his boys. He loves playing winter ball down there in that part of the world. Something, if I'm going to cut a check for half a barracuna, that's where it's going to be in that neighborhood, that, you know, maybe you don't play no more.
Yeah, I don't know if the Dodgers would tell Shohei Ohtani to go home and play in Japan during the offseason, right. But it's that exact same thing. But at the same time, you want to let your star. I mean, listen, there's the old adage of, you know, the reason Alex Rodriguez got traded to the Yankees was because Aaron Boone broke his leg playing basketball in the offseason. And there's a million stories like that around the world of sports. So you obviously don't want something like that to happen. But, you know, especially with a manager like Snit, Mike, who's so easygoing and player friendly, you could see the set of circumstances that allows Acuna doing the right thing by playing baseball all year round.
No, he talked about it. Look, when I came up to the show, I was, you know, I was a showboat, and even his mom was saying, "Stop doing that."
Yeah.
You know, but that's the way he amps himself up. That's the way he does his thing. Now, you talked about it earlier. Yeah, kind of a thinly veiled shot that maybe, you know, Freddie, some of the other guys, the current veterans, let you be you. Now, do you need a guy like Freddie to tell you not to wear the sunglasses over the A on the cap and everything else that the rules that that apparently Freddie enforced? You did win the ultimate irony. You won the World Series without Ronald Acuna, and it drives. He just, you can imagine what it felt like for him to be on the sideline and not be able to participate. It was just, he was excited for the team, but he was still miserable.
Yeah, that was the quote in the article. One of the ones that really stuck out was he was, you know, over the moon for the team,
right?
But him, he said, I wasn't 100% happy because I wasn't able to contribute, essentially, is what he said.
So it's definitely worth a read, guys. If you're a Braves fan, it's some interesting stuff. And, you know, I already had, see, this is what I hate about like, social media.
You already got people chapping at you.
Hey, guys, you know, did he really write that? Well, I think he wrote more of that than JFK wrote Profiles in Courage. How about that? Okay. If we're going to talk about things being ghostwritten, I mean, you can look that one up. I think if he didn't write it verbatim, it was communicated and put out there, and I like the message. I enjoyed reading it. I think you would, too.
Newsflash, guys. That's what the Players' Tribune is. Yes. They get their highly paid journalists to sit down with the athletes and tell their stories that they can't put into their own words.
Right. And he's basically saying there's some things he wants to get out that he wouldn't be asked by reporters. Look, I will say this to Ronald, you know. Aside from, you know, the Philadelphia media or whatever, people who take, you know, a hostile angle to the theatrics that everybody, all young players are doing these days, baseball players got it easy. Baseball media is soft as Charmin. So, but that aside, you know, it's an interesting read, so check it out. Hey, man, we'll talk more about the Braves a little bit later. Look at that opening day lineup. And I know we were busting Chris's chops just today about Kelnick hitting a home run, so the average is climbing. But a lot of guys, like, I understand your concerns. They wouldn't have gotten Duvall for nothing if it wasn't a concern about Kelnick.
Exactly. And listen, he hit the home run yesterday. We had fun with it. But in all seriousness, at the end of the day, the guy's batting 143 in spring. Mm-hmm. He started to turn around late. He's a guy that you were counting on a lot, Mike, to play almost every single day in left field. And smartly, in my opinion, the Braves realized, okay, maybe the kid's not exactly ready yet. We'll bring in some veteran help, and now we're firing on all cylinders.
We got plenty to talk about today. As we mentioned, Matt Lombardo, NFL Insider, is going to join us. You'll hear what Randy Muller had to say about the moves the Falcons made. Later this hour, it's Danny Green. We come back, though, take a look at the headlines. Part of the headlines, an opinion about what the Falcons are going to do at number 8. Done it for a long time on ESPN and in the NFL. We'll get into that because it's got to be Edge, right? It's got to be Edge. Rush, right?
Roll your roll.
Hey, man, this hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll take a look at the headlines next. Yeah, it is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris Thomas filling in for Carl. Carl back in the saddle tomorrow at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Get you ready for more March Madness action. And we got a lot of guests today talking more NFL. It's kind of like a, not a lull, but there's a little bit of a dip because we know what we did as far as the free agent moves. We made some trades, brought some dudes in, the big dude being Kirk Cousins, and now we got to wait and see what the draft is. So now all we're left to do is what we do every year. And I've been doing this since 98 here in Atlanta, and I can tell you this, with the maybe two or three possible exceptions, I don't think we've ever drafted the guy we've talked about all preseason long.
It usually does work out that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, we did talk about Vic Beasley. Check. We got that. We knew Bijan. Carl had that before everybody else. We were going to go with Bijan last year. That kind of took some of the mystery out. I unfortunately, I always had COVID. I couldn't be at the draft party at the Benz a couple years ago. I know the crowd was like, Drake London. Crowd was going bananas on that one.
Kyle Pitts, too.
Kyle Pitts, too, was kind of a strange reaction. We were all that week, you know, we started with Fields, And then we moved to Penei Sewell. And then there was all sorts of, you know, no one, and by the way, nobody, anyone who said they had Micah Parsons before, they're full of crap. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody.
No.
You know, there was no pre-marked draft where he was in the top five. But obviously, you know, they struck gold in Dallas with him. But anyway, we'll keep forging ahead, including some new folks with opinions for a living about the draft. And they think we're going edge. It's all part of the headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Just trying to put my own stamp on the headlines. That's just what
you
I'm
got
doing.
Got that one from your gut. I like it.
You got to use your diaphragm.
What?
Hey, man, headlines are brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. We played this yesterday for the guys that missed it. Coach Ross speaking with the assembled media in Orlando with the owners' meetings. Try to see if you can find out what we're doing at 8.
Oh, man, I think it's a really deep draft class all around. I think the edge rushers are well known and well documented right now what they can do. It is about how they fit with us and some of the stuff that they can do with us and how they be able to be a part of our football team. But I'm really excited with the opportunity to add some of those type of people at our point in the draft at some point. And when that happens, you never know because you don't predict those things. But what you want to do is be prepared when you get to those buckets to have people in those spots that you feel really good about taking and adding to your football team so you can go out there and be productive with those guys.
Yeah, no, Mike, I know. It's edge. You're going to take an edge rusher at number 8. That's cute. Rock can say whatever he wants, try to put any sort of spin and disguise on what the team may do. And listen, if they do not take an edge rusher at 8, either Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, I will be stunned.
Right. Well, if you want to hear what Mike Tannenbaum had to say, and this guy was a GM for the Jets for 6 seasons, he's been around the league, even did some baseball work, but he's been all over the place in the NFL, so he's a lifer. Tannenbaum now working for ESPN. He says, this one's easy. With Kirk Cousins answering the quarterback question, Falcons could draft the best pass rusher in the class after they had 42 sacks last season, tied for 21st. Now, again, think about this. With the 13.5 sacks we got, or 13 sacks we got from Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree, I mean, we were excited about the 42 altogether because that's like twice what we've had the last couple of years.
Literally.
So anemic in edge rush. So he says it's got to be Dallas Turner. Turner had an incredible workout at the combine. You know, Carl has questioned why didn't he pop more at Alabama? Maybe Kevin Steele didn't use him properly. I don't know. I know that Jared Verse is a fire breather. He's a guy, he's a self-made stud. He was not even anybody's, like, you know, 3-star kid or 5. Hell, he wasn't even a 2. Went to Albany, upstate New York, and made his way to Florida State in the portal, and then just became a rock star. I'd go with Verse personally, but either way, Mike Tannenbaum says it's got to be edge. So it's got to be edge.
Yeah, for me, it's got to be edge, but it certainly doesn't have to be Dallas Turner. I'm with you. I want Jared Verse. That guy, to me, looks like, you know, a guy that could – I mean, this is a lofty comparison, and you guys know what I'm saying. Like, that guy could have almost like a Julius Peppers-type impact on the game.
I think so. I mean, now, only time will tell because, look, either both these guys will rock out. You know, the odds will tell you one of these guys is going to flame out. You know, that's the way that the draft plays. It's about a 51%, you know, win percentage for general managers out there. More from Raheem Morris. Now, a lot of guys have asked us, why don't we bring back Calais Campbell? Chris and I were just looking at the money. You have to have enough money to cover your draft class. And if you move down, sometimes it's a net win. Sometimes you actually pick up more pieces and you still got to pay those guys. So we still need some loot. I'm not sure we have the money, but here's Raheem about talking to the big fella.
I talked to Calais, and I'll let Calais tell you his thoughts when he talks to you, but I talked to him and told him what my vision was and talked to him a little bit about that and where it could potentially go. Mm-hmm. And I'll keep that, with no disrespect, I'll keep that conversation between me and him private, and I'll let him tell you what he's going to do. I don't know if he's made a formal announcement, a public announcement, anything like that. And that's always sensitive when you're talking about vets like that. But I look forward to getting a chance to sit in front of him because he is certainly impressive as it gets when it comes to football character. He's had as impressive as a career as you can have. He brings stuff that he can still bring to the game to us moving forward. And I look forward to discussing that in further detail with him at a further date.
All right, two things real quick, Mike, on that. Number one, let's talk about the money, the moolah. He signed for almost, I think it rounded out to, with incentives, could have been close to a $10 million contract.
Right.
So if you sign Jared Verse in the first round, you got to pay him his rookie deal. Is that $10 million better spent elsewhere, especially when it's going to come at the cost of having to restructure a contract? Two, I don't know if you heard the same thing I did in the middle of that cut where he said, I don't want to speak for him. I'll let him announce his decisions to the media publicly. I was like, is he
going
to
retire? Yeah, that's what I kind of read from that as well. Everybody loved him. He's the kind of guy you want around a team that was, you know, finding its way in this world, a pretty young team. But I just don't know if we'd have the loot to add him unless it would be a superly a team favorable type contract, and Calais has earned the right to basically win, you know, one more big deal for himself if he wants. But we just don't have the loot unless we start restructuring. The way I know the cap gets off in the weeds, but Carl and I were talking about this on Tuesday. You got to restructure Grady. You got to restructure Lindstrom. Keep pushing some money with Jake. So I'm not sure we want to go down that road necessarily. The other story today is kind of funny. Trailblazers are in town. How bad are they? The Hawks are 10.5-point favorites. Now, some of this might be generated from the juice off the Celtics win two nights back.
I mean, to look at where the Hawks are right now as a 10th seed in the East, the fact that they're almost 11-point favorites over anybody, I don't care if it's the Trailblazers, the Pistons, anything like that. But, hey, listen, we talked to Veet Krejci yesterday. Mm-hmm. Great energy, great enthusiasm, still believes in this team. So, Mike, if the guys on the floor are still playing hard for Quinn and they're doing everything he tells them to do from a schematic standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised if Quinn is sort of half-heartedly enjoying this because he's really getting to control guys like Garrison Matthews and Veet Krejci and Bruno Fernando, and he's really molding them to his system. So, hey, make the most of it.
By the way, things are so weird for the Blazers when you go look at the starting lineup. The NBA doesn't even have faces for some of the guys that they're throwing out there.
Five rookies they've started the last two games.
Right. So you know DeAndre Ayton if he can go tonight. But, yeah, a lot of young faces, and that's why the Hawks, again, with also some juice right now nationally, beating the Celtics. 10.5 in Vegas, their favorites. Kirby speaking to the media yesterday, and, of course, unfortunately, he had to answer some questions about Trevor Etienne and the incident, which, you know, I don't know how familiar Etienne was. I mean, it was a national news story, the tragedy that happened 2 years back. So the odds, I mean, the optics are pretty awful. The odds are he probably was familiar with it, still had an 80 and a 50, allegedly, and a suspicion of drunk driving. Here's Kirby on Etienne.
I really enjoyed getting to know him. I think he's a great kid, great person. We've gotten to know his family. He enjoys being coached. He's a bright kid. We push him hard out there, and he really loves the competition. But as we also know, sometimes kids don't make the best decisions. The older you get, sometimes the tougher the consequences are for your mistakes. So, you know, he's not going to let this mistake define him. He's embarrassed. He's upset. He knows he's made a mistake. It's a teaching moment, and we hope he gets better from it.
Mike, from everything that's happened with this program over the past couple of years, I'm not going to lie. That was my first time hearing that cut. I am shocked by the low energy and nonchalant delivery from Kirby right there.
Yeah, but I will say this. He is, you know, he controls the narrative.
Yep.
And he learned from Saban. The things that Saban used to say, Kirby kind of, you know, obviously echoes that they got their own in-house discipline. But it's going to fall a little flat because even like hardcore Georgia fans, I know, were going, they're rolling their eyes when they heard this. Like, oh, come on, really? And everything leading up to it is all positive. And he's talking some smack about the Gators. He sounds like a leader. All the players are talking about all the work he's putting in spring football. And then that, unfortunately. And Kirby said, no, he's right. One incident doesn't define anybody. And, you know, the fact that he's asking the police allegedly to help follow him back to his room. The first thing I thought of is, so that's how they do it in Gainesville, all the old Urban Meyer rules.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's kind of like message board, like nonsense, but still, when you heard that, you're like, really? So there's some growing up that still needs to occur. The problem is, you got to met out a penalty that's going to, you know, Kirby doesn't give a crap about critics or the media. All that matters is that football team, but even to the fan base, you got to at least miss one or two games over this. It's got to be the Clemson game and maybe the second game of the season.
I would be shocked if he plays week one. I would be shocked if he plays week two. I don't think it'll go further than that because I feel like based on everything he just said and the way he just delivered that message, I think a two-game suspension felt like a two-game suspension coming answer right there from Kirby.
So, as he said, you know, they have their own discipline. There is a process that plays out, and Kirby will – I mean, some will say, right, I got a guy text me, Kirby's going to slow roll it. It's his prerogative, you know. And at some point, if you feel that he's not running the program the right way, you can buy him out. No, the guy's – look, he's the gold standard. Players, these guys are a little bit older than just 18 and 19-year-old kids, but they make mistakes, and you got to find a way to, you know, navigate this. But it's only Georgia has got the uniqueness of having the kind of tragedy that comes with driving, like, really irresponsibly, and it just continues to happen. It just happens to be the first time we've seen it in this offseason. So we'll see where this one goes. But I don't expect anything more than two games at the end of the day.
Me either.
This part of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Come back. We're going to talk to our man Danny Green. I don't know if he wants to put some money on the Hawks tonight. That's a safe bet. But we'll talk about the playoff picture. And what does he make of the Celtics? Now, they are the best team in basketball. Some would say the coach.
is the weakest link. We'll pull his brain out and look at it next.
It is Dukes and Bell. Chris is in for Carl. Chris Thomas is Carl's pipes are healing up. We'll be back in at it at where? Twin Peaks in Kennesaw tomorrow, guys, 2 to 7 as we get ready for the return of March Madness. We'll ask Danny about some college hoops, but we're waiting on him. He's on the phone right now with Oren, and we'll get to Danny Green, NBA insider, for our Odyssey interview coming up. We were just looking at some of the numbers. Look at the numbers. And the unbelievable win last night without LeBron. You see that against the Bucks last night?
Yeah, Anthony Davis went off. Austin Reeves had the game of his life. You know what? The Lakers are in a position where they're hanging on by a thread, and I don't know what they're going to do come playoff time, but – hey, you get a game like that, much like the Hawks got inspired against Boston.
It's wild to see the Lakers, you know, 40-32. They're the 9th seed right now in the Western Conference. It's just LeBron in the play-in again. So I saw something on ESPN this morning. You know, the gym, they always have the stupid topics on, like, the scream-at-each-other shows. It's like, is it time to break up the Warriors? I wouldn't go that far, but they do need some infusion of more talent, it just seems like, at this stage. Let's ask our man, Danny Green. He joins us, as he does every week. He's our Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Danny, what do you think of the Hawks the other night, man? I mean, that's pretty amazing coming back from 30.
Yeah, against Boston, it was a hell of a show. I mean, it shows how good they are, how good they could be, the potential, even with the injury. They've got to play like that every night. You know, they're not a bad team. They have the pieces. They can be a contender. They could be obviously a playoff team for sure, but they could be, you know, one of the better teams in the East if they once stay healthy, but if they just came with that same intensity and played that way every night.
It's kind of a cobbled-together lineup, but yeah, I mean, we got some young guys. Jalen Johnson has been banged up, but, you know, we look at DeAndre Hunter. I don't know how much, Danny, you follow DeAndre Hunter. We've killed this guy because he was a fourth overall pick, and now this year he's playing like that top five guy. And does it take 5 years to get it together in the NBA?
It depends on the person, how young come in. I think he's had some good years before the 5 years. Like, he's shown to me bits and pieces of how good he could be. Just the consistency, it may take 5 years. But some years just have a bad year. You know, maybe last year he had a rough year, or maybe second year. I said I've seen him have a good year or two here and there, but sometimes it takes longer to put it all together, to have a full put-together season consistently.
Danny, do you believe that Mamba mentality, that killer instinct that we've all known and seen from guys like MJ, LeBron, Kobe, guys that you've played with throughout your career, do you believe that's something that's inherently inside of a player and that Tatum can reach in and grab and clutch moments, or do you think that could be developed?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's more so developed than it is inside. Some guys have it inside them. It's a lost art to me, so when people use the Mamba mentality thing now, it's like kind of watered down, hard to believe because I don't see it. You know, it's not that. People say that they're doing that's them, but it's not that anymore. And it's because, you know, it's our generation. The guys are too friendly. Everybody wants to team up with each other. It's not the same type of competitive play as it was back then, where guys didn't want to care to be friends, didn't want to see do well. Like, I mean, we like to do well. The competitive nature is like you really want to kill somebody on the floor. You know, you should probably say it that way, but you really wanted to take everything from them and give them nothing, and that's how it was. Now it's like, you know, guys rather team up and give each other, or they're cool and laughing and having fun playing games. It's just too nice. So it's hard for me to see that mama mentality in today's generation, but I think you can develop it. And all it takes is really just your mindset and keeping that mindset throughout the game. I think he has it. I'm not saying he doesn't have it. I just think, you know, their team, just the immaturity, they lack the keeping their foot on the gas, and you're being comfortable, and just let teams back into games. I think that's more maturity issue than anything.
It's a Danny Green, guys, our Odyssey NBA insider here on the WadeFord.com hotline. That's the thing. I mean, I never want to sound like an old fart older than I am, Danny, but it's just like you were in the generation where, you know, you played in the same time as Kobe, where there was a bit of a killer instinct out there. Now it's just like everybody's boys. Everybody's dapping everybody up. It's hard to see some real, I don't know, we're never going to see Celtics or Bulls Pistons like we used to. It doesn't seem.
Yeah, you're not going to get those lines in the league. It's cleaned up with less fights and less, you know, less hard fouls anymore. So that makes the game a little tougher, harder to be competitive. There's still some guys, Dylan Brooks out there, Pat Bev, Marcus Smart, like, they'll go at you, they'll give you a hard foul. Now guys will get a flagrant or get a technical hang on the rim now. So it's tougher now. And I can't say it's all on the players in the generation. It's tougher now the way the world is and the way the leagues are set up. You know, you can't be as physical. You know, I know Adam Silver looking into letting defenses have more freedom to be more physical. I'm all for that because I'm a defensive player. But the world is a different time.
Danny, when it comes to the Hawks tonight, they're taking on a Portland Trail Blazers team that, even though the Hawks have as many injuries as they have, they're still 10.5-point favorites tonight. How, as a player, do you get your mentality up for a game like that when you know that the team is coming in, that you should beat them? Everybody's telling you that you should beat them. How do you keep that fire going during the regular season?
Well, I've been blessed and fortunate to have the coaching staff to keep that in us. You know, it comes from leadership. It comes from the top. You know, it comes from your 90 best players, which are your veterans, but also your coaching staff to let you know, any given night, you can lose. You better have a sense of urgency, and you don't take these things lightly at all. Not preparing for the team that you're playing. You're preparing for the team that you're going to be playing in the playoffs or in the future. You know, not tonight is, it doesn't matter. We're trying to play for ourselves and better ourselves, and each night is an opportunity to get better, and so that comes with the leadership, and that could be coaching, it could be your veteran.
Now, we talk a lot about coaching. We saw the Celtics. You know, I don't know what that was. There were some design plays right as they were blowing that lead that didn't make a lot of sense. Some iso ball, just no movement. Is the criticism on Joe Mazzulla, especially against the collapse against the Heat, is it warranted?
Say that last part again.
Joe Mazzulla is getting a lot of heat. Is it worth – I mean, does he deserve the criticism he gets up in Boston and around the country?
Some, but I don't think so. Ultimately, a coach can be but so much. They can control how players execute, how they do, or how they play, or how they miss shots. But yes, missed execution, he deserves some of it. If they're not executing, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or it looks like they're a mess or have a set play, or he's not getting the timeouts, he's not giving them a rest or a reset, a game, place. Part of that, yes, but there's but so much a coach can do, and a lot of it, especially when you have these groups of players who have been together for like 5 and 6 years. These guys have been together. It's really upon them to kind of get upon themselves to you know, stay poised, stay locked in, and put teams away.
Danny, when it comes to whipping around the league here a little bit as we wrap up with Danny Green here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Mavericks are a team that is really coming online at the right time. Luka and Kyrie have finally seemed to develop that chemistry that a lot of people thought they may have from the jump. Do they have what it takes to sort of shock the world here at the end of the season and make a run?
I think they have what it takes to make a run. I don't know if shock the world, like championship, I wouldn't say impossible. I don't see it for them. They did keep putting good pieces at the deadline that makes them fit better. I think they could be in the Western Conference Finals. But I don't know if beyond that they can stop the world and do more than that. But I could see them, which I don't see them beating the Denver. Or if the Clippers, they get it together, they're a really good team. There's certain teams that have a lot of weapons. I just don't know if they can get past. But they do have a lot of weapons and enough to get to the Western Conference Finals, for sure.
Well, Danny, we appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you next week. Our man, Danny Green, as we get further in, closer to the end of the season, we'll see if the Hawks can improve in the play-in round. Thanks again, big man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, guys, equipped for adventure. Yeah, man, I know that we got plenty more to get into. What's going on?
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't think we've mentioned yet, Braves' opening day is postponed.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Because Chris is normally producing the show, but today, because he just showed me the phone, even with my glasses, I'm like, what are you?
I can't see a thing.
What does your phone say? Yeah, I just tweeted it, and now it's officially came from the Phillies, and Grant McCauley's got it, too. They got nasty rain, so it looks like the Mets' home opener is going to be rained out, but the Braves and the Phillies has been moved to Friday. Because of the weather, it's got an 85% chance of showers. So it's Friday, and that was an off day anyway, so they don't lose any steam. So it was a Thursday gap and then Saturday. So they'll be just starting on Friday. Hopefully the weather's right, as I said on Twitter. Rain and just bad karma in Philadelphia because they're awful people. So stay tuned on that one. Yeah, we were just talking to Danny Green about, and for guys who don't follow the Celtics, Mazzulla, if you don't remember, they've blown a lot of leads. They blew some big leads. You know, they got down against the Celtics got down against the Heat 0-2, and then they battled back. But you just wonder if he's the right guy for the job.
Yeah, and the combination of that, and then you hit the nail over the head with the Jason Tatum lack of clutch situation going on, it really makes for a recipe for disaster come deep playoff time. And you got to wonder if the same thing isn't happening again this year.
If Ime Udoka doesn't have the scandal, this seems like he's just a smarter
he's
coach.
Doing a great
he's just a better
job.
Coach. He's doing a great job with Houston.
Yeah.
And they're making a run. See, that's what I think we thought we were going to see with Quinn Snyder. Like, he's going to come in. Quinn Snyder's a great motivator, great coach, great stat, you know, the whole thing. Sprinkle some Mary Quinn Snyder fairy dust on this thing and we'll get rolling. But that's what you're seeing Udoka doing with a young team down in H-Town.
Yeah, I think you got to credit him for the job he's done there with it. Really, I mean, you want to talk about young squads. They have basically infants on that entire roster up and down. And then you juxtapose that, as you said very smartly there, Mike, with what's going on here in Atlanta, and it makes a further exclamation point on why this season has been so disappointing. Yes, I get the injuries, but, Mike, I haven't said this to you since we've been on lately, and I've been steaming about this before it's already – I'm steaming about something that hasn't happened yet, but I think it's going to, so I'm already mad about it.
Okay.
Injuries – this is something you've mentioned as well. Injuries being an excuse for the season – not working.
Yeah, I mean, to a point. Everybody deals with injuries. We've seen this around the league, and some teams find a way. And I know that, like, you don't replace Trey Young. I'm still not sure we're going to see Trey. Carl's of the opinion. I think Trey's not going to be playing. I know the pinky. I don't know what he's dealing with, his, how it messes up his shot. And we were joking around. And I'm making fun of Trey. It's just kind of fun to hear pinky exercises. You sit there like, small motion. One, two, three. Like when you drink, I know I drink pinkies up when I drink a cocktail. Is that what he's doing? I'm not quite sure. But if Trey doesn't come back, you've seen spurts. I mean, when Jalen Johnson can stay healthy, he's been amazing. DeAndre Hunter, we talked about just now with Danny Green. He's been great this year. And it's just, and I've heard, like, do I buy it? I know I asked Danny the question because it's been told to me a million times. And he was, I think it was 2 or 3 years at UVA before we drafted him. But it's still, some people feel there's a whole progression. It takes 4 or 5 years for these guys, which, unfortunately, they don't have time to coach you up in the NBA because of the compression of the schedule.
So, yeah,
I know it sounds like weak sauce to guys that grew up with watching guys. And when you knew everybody in the draft and 1 through 20, they come out and be ready to go. It's not the way it works anymore.
No, and the two poster boys for exactly what you're describing in terms of the 5-year plan, Giannis and Steph Curry.
Right.
Those guys were not the players they are today the first couple of seasons of their career.
Hey, man, we'll talk some NFL next. We got a blitz. You're not going to believe who's speaking of Boston. Your cousin from Boston, Robert Kraft. I'm not very satisfied with this documentary on the Patriots. We'll get into that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.